All right. Well, good morning, everybody. If you're a guest with us, welcome. My name is Alex. I'm the pastor of Cascades. And today, if you didn't put it together yet, is Family Service Sunday. So, some of the littles have stayed and gone on downstairs because, let's be honest, it's too much to ask them to sit with us for 15 minutes. Okay, so they're downstairs. But some of the older, more mature, more developed, yeah, no, you agree, okay, you disagree. You guys get to stay up here. And so what we're going to do is some of you guys are going to help. I might be testing you as well. So part of why we do this and why we encourage you guys to stay, though, is because we want to let you guys know what happens up here. Some of you have actually asked, what happens upstairs when we go downstairs? And so some of the things that we do are what, Axel? I knew you were listening. We read scripture. We talk about what we need to know to understand it. We talk about Jesus' saving power, and we take communion. Those are three things that we do when you guys go downstairs. Now, I have a story to tell you. Anyone here a basketball fan? Yeah. Oh, yes, there are three basketball fans. Oh, four. Thank you, Axel. So a few years ago, actually 2 years ago, I got a chance to go down to a Warriors game. I've gone to four Warriors games. The Warriors in the NBA, at this point, they're kind of like the Beatles. They were amazing. They're not as amazing. Some of you take offense to that for the Beatles, but for the Warriors, it's true. They're just not as good anymore, but they're so much fun to watch. And in particular, I love Steph Curry. Steph Curry, he is an incredible scorer. No one has scored more threes than him. Steph has scored over 4,000 threes throughout his career. The second best person's got like, they're probably somewhere around 3,000. It's just not even close. In the last 11 years, no one has won more championships than Steph Curry. No one is more fun to watch than Steph Curry. His team is never out of a game, even if they're losing by 15 points. And he's wildly popular, even though at this point he's 38 years old. Nobody sold more jerseys than Steph Curry this season. He's just the draw, even in his old age. I think he's played 17 years, which for the NBA is old, okay? It's old for the NBA. So I've had a chance to go to the games, and here's one of them that I went down to in Portland. And as a big Curry fan, I wanted to see how close could I get. Could I see Steph Curry warm up? He has this whole show he puts on whenever he warms up for every game, where from the half-court line, he tries to score from the other side of the court, from off of the court, like into the tunnel. You can't really see it in that picture there, but it's in the middle picture on the left. There's that little dark spot. That's the tunnel, and he tries to score from there. And he does, frequently. He just puts on a show. So anyways, I wanted to try to see him, to see if I could get his autograph or something like that, be a fanboy for a moment. And you know what? I couldn't. They've got like a bunch of security all around the court that doesn't let you, like even that picture where I'm close to the court with Joel, there was a security person who stopped us and said, that's as far as you can go. And I'll let you take a picture right there. So we did, we got our picture, but there's people that stop you, security guards, who stop you from getting too close to him. And there are, not just that, he's got like personal bodyguards that hang out with him, that protect him. If he's out in the streets, he doesn't just go out on his own. He's got to have someone that protects him so that crazy fans, not me, of course, you know, don't get too close and put him in danger. So it's tough. There's a lot of fun to get to be around someone like Steph. Why? Well, he makes basketball so fun. Every game you watch when you're watching, it's like, if you love soccer, it's like watching Messi. You know magic will happen. Not Ronaldo, sorry. But Messi. So there's something fun. The crowd always gets excited when they see him playing, and you want to witness that greatness. You want to be close to that. And yet, no matter how hard you try, you just can't. So I was in the arena, I was in the same room, but I couldn't get that close. I was near the court, but I couldn't get on the court. I couldn't get close to Steph. Why do I share all of that? Well, because I think sometimes we look up to someone, sometimes we want to get close to someone that we know, that we respect, but we can't. And yet, I want you to know that the most important, the greatest person you could ever know is accessible. That because of Jesus, there's actually someone that you can actually come to him and nothing can stop you. Scripture teaches us that God is not like Steph Curry. That you can actually get close to God, you can meet him, you can stand before him. So, today's verse is going to come from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. And I want to invite Caleb to come on up and read it to us, and Axel to come on up as well, because he's going to pray for us. So, Caleb, you can read Ephesians 2, verse 18.
Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us.
Thank you. Axel, can you pray for us?
Our Father in heaven, thank you for sending Son Jesus. Help us hear you today. Help us have hearts that trust you. Give us power to do what as you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, guys. You guys are great. Because of what Jesus has done, we have access to God through the Holy Spirit. We have access to God through the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done. What has he done for us? Well, we were made to know God's love and to reflect his love, like a mirror does. When you look at a mirror, it's able to reflect whatever is in front of it. There is a picture that I want to show that helps capture this. A mirror. There you go. There's that mirror, and it's reflecting what is around it. And that's what we were made to do. We were made to reflect God's love to the world, to receive his love, and then to reflect it, his truth, his ways to the world around us, just like a mirror does. That's why the Bible says that we're made in God's image. Humans over history, though, decided they didn't want to do that. And the Bible calls that sin. It's when we fail to love God and when we fail to love others. It cracks our lives, it breaks our peace, and it cuts us off from God who made us like that. Sin brings this brokenness, death, and conflict into the world and into our lives. But God loves us so much that he doesn't leave us like that. He doesn't leave us to live with those cracks. He made us for more. He rescued us and began to heal us, and that's what he does through Jesus on the cross. So now instead of those cracks in our lives because of our sin staying there, it's actually God's love that gets poured into those cracks. Now, there is this form of Japanese art called kintsugi. Have you guys heard of it? Two nods. Everyone else is like, I'm going to pretend I know what you're talking about. So these bowls or plates that you see here, what do you notice about them, Caleb? What else do you see in those cracks, though? Are they broken still? Well, they've been put back together, right? Yeah. They have these gold lines running through them. This is this form of Japanese art called kintsugi, and it's the art of repairing broken pottery by fixing the areas of breakage with powdered gold or silver or platinum, but I like the gold ones, so those are the ones I picked. So we are like these broken mirrors or broken bowls. I think there's another picture, if you guys want to go to the next one, that shows us all the various kinds of bowls that have been repaired, and they're beautiful in their own way. See, God loved us so much, he became one of us, lived like us, and died for us. How? Scripture says, through Jesus Christ. And because of this forgiveness, we can come to the Father. And those cracks are like this picture where you see this gold. It's like God's love has been poured out into our lives. And those areas of brokenness, he's actually beginning to restore so that we actually proclaim God's love through our lives and even in our places of weakness. Because of this forgiveness, because of what Jesus has done, now we can all come to the Father. Now, which Father is this? This is our Heavenly Father. He is the Creator. He is the one who made you, thought of you, knit you together in your mother's room. He numbered your days before you were born. He knows every hair that is on your head. He knows what you are going to ask or say even before it's on the tip of your tongue. He knows what you need. And it gives him great joy, Scripture says, to give you what you need. Because he's your Heavenly Father. He made you to know him, to follow him, to walk in wholeness, to carry his love, and to reflect his love. And Jesus enables us now to do that. You have access to him. And the word in the original language of the Bible in Greek, the word that was used for this of access is for those who were given access to the emperor or Caesar. Have you guys ever heard of that guy? He was like the king of the empire. And what? No, not Star Wars. That's the Galactic Empire. It's a little different. That's good, though. You're tracking. You get it. We have access to God, the king of the universe. They had this audience, and that's what we get. We get an audience with him. Now, I want to show you guys a video. It's possibly a fictional story, but I think it's a powerful illustration for what God has done for us through Jesus. And it's actually from Alpha. And so we're going to put that up, and then we'll watch that, and then we'll talk a little more.
A young soldier fighting for the Union Army in the American Civil War lost both his father and his brother in the fighting. He needed to return to his family's home and help his sister and elderly mother with the spring planting on their farm. And so he went to Washington, D.C. to ask the president for exemption from military service. When he arrived in Washington, he walked straight up to the doors of the White House and asked to speak directly with the president. A young official standing guard told him, "You can't see the president. The president's far too busy to see you. Get back out there and fight like you're supposed to." So the young soldier left the White House, not knowing how he would break the bad news to his family. As he was sitting on a nearby park bench, a young boy came up to him and said, "Why are you so unhappy? What's wrong?" The soldier looked at the boy and began to pour out his heart. He told the child that since his father and brother had been killed, he was the only man left in his family. He was desperately needed back at the farm, and the only person who could make it possible was the president himself. The little boy said simply, "Come with me." Taking him by the hand, the boy led the soldier back around to the White House. They walked through the back door, past the guards, past the generals, past the high-ranking government officials, until they got to the president's office. The little boy didn't even knock on the door. He just opened it and walked in. There, standing behind the desk, studying battle plans with the Secretary of State, was President Abraham Lincoln. The president looked up and said, "Oh, what can I do for you, Tad?" The little boy replied, "Dad, this man needs to talk to you." A young soldier fighting for the Union Army in the American Civil War lost both his father and his brother in the fighting. He needed to return to his family's home and help his sister and elderly.
Auto replay, come on. Because of what Jesus has done, we have access to the Father, the way that boy has access to his dad anytime. It doesn't matter the title of his dad, he gets to come in and interrupt. Those of you who have kids know that your kids believe they have the right to come into any room at any time. Any day. Doesn't matter if it's late at night, early in the morning, they will come. And that little boy knew that. And that is how we get to come before God the Father. We have access to him because of what Jesus has done. Jesus is the Son bringing us to the Father, and it gives him joy to do that. This early Christian writer and leader named Paul, he wrote the book of Ephesians that Caleb just read that verse from. And what he was talking about was access to this most holy place in the temple where God dwells. And now nobody can stop you from entering and getting in, from coming close to him. Nothing can hinder you. And he's greater than anyone you've ever met. He's kinder than anyone you've ever spoken to. He's smarter than anyone you've encountered. He's closer than you ever realized. He's your heavenly Father. And now all of us can come to him at any time, in any place, for any reason. How? Well, the verse Caleb read to us says, through the Holy Spirit. But how can this be? Well, the reason is because God now lives in us. God has made his most holy place, his dwelling place, us, his people, those who put their trust in Jesus. Anybody who believes in Jesus, who surrenders their life to him, has the same Holy Spirit living in them. And it's a gift that God gives to his people. So I wanted to give you guys another picture for this, and it's from a series of books. And so the two books come from the Chronicles of Narnia. So then the first one I want to talk about, it's from The Silver Chair. In The Silver Chair, there are these two kids, Eustace and Jill. They're at school, and they're hiding from mean kids who have been teasing and bullying them behind their school gym. That's where they're hiding. Jill's been crying, and Eustace finds them, and they're worried that they're going to get found by these kids, and they can hear them off in a distance. And Eustace is so desperate to escape. He wishes he could, but he knows he's at school. There's not too many places to go to. But then he remembers of this world, another world that he had been to, a world that he didn't fully understand, a world of magic that he had been to with his cousins. And he remembers that they would call on this character, Aslan. Now, C.S. Lewis, the one who wrote these books, he was a follower of Jesus, and he wanted to help make sense of what following Jesus looks like for kids. So Aslan represents Jesus in the stories. And when Eustace remembered how his cousins would do that, he was like, oh, what was that guy's name in that world? I got to try to remember. And then he remembered it was Aslan. And he called on Aslan, this great, mighty lion. And he started to cry out, Aslan, 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 please let us two go into. And then as he was saying it, he heard the bullies getting closer. And so they decided they would climb up this hill underneath these bushes to this door that they remember hearing that would like lead them outside of school grounds so they could escape from these mean kids that were coming. And as he got to the top, he remembered hearing in the past that sometimes like the school grounds keeper would leave the door unlocked by accident. And they're like, if it's unlocked, we can get away from them. So he gets to the top of the hill and he opens the door and he expects to see the other side of like, you know, like the rest of London, basically, where their school was, but he doesn't. Instead, he realizes that him and Jill are standing on top of a very high mountain on the edge of a cliff, and the clouds are below them, not above them, because of how high they are. And what he doesn't quite know in that moment is that he's actually entered into Narnia, this other world, and he is on Aslan's mountain. And this is what we have with Jesus. Because of Jesus, when we pray, we come into the very presence of God. Prayer is like this portal that brings us into God's throne room. And that's what Eustace, in that moment, he opens this door and he's entered into this different space. But see, because of the good news of Jesus, it's not just that we get to enter in. It's also that he comes to us, that actually he came to us first. So there's another story in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Have you guys seen that movie? Okay. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. You can watch it. It's a pretty good one. So in that movie, Lucy and her friends are in big trouble. In fact, Eustace is there too. And they're sailing towards what they think is an island. But this island is actually just total darkness. And it's described as a place where the things you're most afraid of come true. They were surrounded by darkness and they can't see anything. And in trouble and desperate, Lucy cries out for Aslan too. And she says, Aslan, Aslan, if you ever loved us at all, send us help now. Now the darkness didn't get any darker in that moment. But a tiny speck of light shone in the distance. And it didn't change the darkness, but it was like a searchlight had just shone right on their boat. And Lucy stared into the light, and she could see something. At first, she's like, what is that? Is that like a kite? Is it a plane? As it got closer, she's like, is that a cross? No, it was actually an albatross, this huge seabird. And it called out in a strong, sweet voice that what seemed to be words, though nobody could understand them except Lucy. And she knew that as it circled the mast of the boat, it had whispered to her, courage, dear heart. And the voice she felt sure was Aslan's. See, Jesus is like this. When we pray, he comes to us by the Spirit. And he doesn't just change the darkness, but he helps us see in it. And gives us courage and gives us peace. He comes to us. We are brought into the presence of God in prayer. But also he comes and meets us in that very place. So in prayer we come to him, but he also comes to us. Now what can we pray? What do you guys think in those two stories? What do you notice about what Lucy and Eustace pray? Anything? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're just asking for help. They're in trouble. They're afraid. They're confused. They don't know what to do, and they just ask for help, and he comes. And that's how God is for us. He comes and helps us. We can speak to him at any time, for any reason, in any circumstance, good or bad, sad or happy, whatever it might be. We can come to him. So how can we pray? Well, I wanted to actually give you guys a picture. And one of the ones that I like to pray with my kids is like a shortened version of the Lord's Prayer, but in language that's just a little easier to understand. So if you've read Daryl Johnson's book on prayer, this is a paraphrase of what he says. So I want to actually just give us a moment to come and pray and talk to God. I know you guys do that already in your homes or maybe here on Sundays, but I want to give all of us an opportunity to come before him. Sometimes we don't know what to pray, and this is a prayer that Jesus actually teaches his followers to pray. He says, when you pray, I want you to pray like this, and look how he started it. He says, our Father in heaven. That's how he wants us to relate to God, our Heavenly Father. Not my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, because we're part of his family. Our Heavenly Father. Make yourself real. I want who you are to be known, what you're like to be known. And I want you to be the king with no rivals, nobody threatening to try to take control. I want you to be the king. Fulfill your good pleasures. Do the things that are good in this world that you want to do. Be our provider. Sometimes, do you guys ever feel like you got maybe like an assignment at school or maybe something at school that makes you feel like a little bit afraid, a little bit nervous? Maybe not afraid, just nervous. Do you ever have that? Only in sports, fair, yes. Yeah. I'm afraid of losing. So what we can do in those moments is ask God to provide us with courage. Yes, provide us with the food we need to live, provide us with the strength we need to be the people he wants us to be, but also give me what I need, Lord, for today. And then cancel our debts. It's like asking for forgiveness for the things we get wrong, the ways we fail to love others and love God. And then rescue us. And that one sounds strange, but what it's about is every day we'll face tests. You guys have tests in your schools. But there's other tests you have. Sometimes your siblings test you intentionally. They want to test to see how you'll react when they do something. Yeah, it's only you that does that? Okay, yeah, well, at least you're honest. So, test. What we're saying in rescue is saying this, God, in all the tests I'm going to face in my life, may none of them become a temptation that leads me to sin. May none of them become something that leads me to choose evil. So that's what this is. And so I think the way we can end this short message is just by praying this. Do you guys want to do that with me? We'll have all of us do it, so don't worry. We're not going to just hear your voice. It's all of us, okay? But I think it's a helpful way to pray. So, Cascades, would you join me as we pray this together? Our Father in heaven, make yourself real. Rule without rival. Fulfill your good pleasures. Be our provider. Cancel all our debts and rescue us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being good sports, guys.